mischievous little creature getting up to mischief.
What the hell are you talking about, bro?
The beast is demonic in nature. Very icky, no good.
Very icky, no good. Are you reading out one of our emails by chance?
No.
What is this?
This is a... I was reciting a meme about... I don't know. I saw it probably in a different context. But it's this guy who's like describing something that's next to him, and the meme that I saw, he was talking about the final boss from one of the Kirby games.
The newest one that came out?
Yeah.
Goddamn. Well, give me a second here. I know it's a bit unprofessional. We can edit this part out, or we can do some other weird shit, but How's it going, Don V?
I think it's going pretty good. Me and you both got our Trump 2021 shirts on, and we're kind of just chilling.
No, don't listen to him. That's not true. That is not true in any capacity. I do not.
What are you talking about? We literally just got done watching the Trump prophecy. No response.
I deny all allegations. Actually, here's the thing. We were watching it, but more for the memes. We were just seeing what the hell was going on in that documentary.
There is nothing even remotely memeable about that documentary, though. And well, I wouldn't even say it's a documentary, honestly.
What is it?
It's an art piece.
It's a piece of art. You know, I would say the definition of art... Where's the line between art and just something that's ass, you know? I don't know what this is because, you know, if you were to ask me about a movie that we've watched, for example, yeah, I don't know, let's say Monsters of War, does that movie count as a film? Would you describe that as a film or would you just say it's like a video?
Me and Mizuki were talking about this movie like a few days ago. And I would say that movie is not a movie, and that it's really more like it's almost like a storage unit where they like store like reusable assets. Because that movie, the same person who made that movie has another movie with the exact same cast of characters, and I assume models.
It's true. It's probably true. We didn't watch that movie. Dinosaur Hotel, I think it was.
Yeah.
You never watched it, but I'm pretty sure that would be the case if that were to happen. Okay, so, I mean, this podcast, we've got a couple of cool topics, but first, as always, we want to jump into the damn emails, because, you know, lately I feel like our mailbox has become a bit radicalized, would you say?
I just checked the emails. We got like three.
Yeah, I see at least two new ones.
There's one in our spam. True, I think it's by the same person.
Well, let's go through. Let's go through and first let's look at this reply to a past email that we have here.
A reply?
It says Ricky, odangpodcast.com, so it must be a reply, right?
Yeah, I think he's replying to himself.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, I'll go ahead and say it. So, AB is talking here. He says, hello. I want to follow up regarding my last below email. Please let me know if you're interested in optimizing your website on the Google top page and want to get more traffic on your site. We'll be very happy to assist you. Give us an opportunity to serve you. I assure you would like our solution and services. I look forward to having a healthy business relationship with you. Regards, AB. Now, how do you feel about this? Because last time we kind of wrote him off. We said, hey, you know, screw you. We don't need any help with our website. We're fine. But he seems rather insistent, wouldn't you say?
Hatia Bain is the name.
Hey, dude. I said AB to not dox him, bro. And you straight up doxed him. Come on,
this guy.
Hey, man. Hey, he's just trying. He's just grinding it out. He's just trying to make a damn living.
Woman.
Yeah, I mean, true. But look, I mean, we have nothing against you, AB. We're just saying, hey, we don't want to. I mean, let's check the Anchor website. We haven't checked that in quite a while, have we? Anchor.fm. I have the drop on a new potential listener. Wait, that we have.
Is he talking about Anchor?
I don't know. I mean, we don't have any other form of website, do we? So recently our views have gone up, no surprise. We've got Spotify, Apple Podcasts 70%, a little bit of Anchor, or 7%, Spotify 75%. Overcast 2%. Some motherfuckers are listening on something called Overcast. I didn't even know that was part of our
network. Damn, bro. That's how you know that they're new listeners.
True.
No one we know uses fucking Overcast.
We've got new fans. New fans in several different countries. Very cool. New fans in Turkey. Very nice to see, very nice to hear our Turkish listeners. I'm very, very happy to see our worldwide influence.
Can you link to this?
Yeah.
This demographic?
Well, here's the thing. I'm logged in, so hopefully this will stay logged in for you. But I will link it to you down below. You can see we've got United States 82%. I mean, of course, in the home country, you're going to have the majority of your audience. We've got 7% in Turkey, 6% in Ireland, 1% in Canada. I think NL got the drop on our podcast and started listening to it, potentially.
10 billion unique listeners.
10 billion? Oh, they rounded, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, true.
Does it say 1% Sweden?
Less than 1% Sweden.
Oh, shit.
That means probably, like, I think this goes by, like, number of plays per country, probably, and they just divide it. So there's probably just someone who listened to it once and was like, eh, not into it, you know?
Guess so. What's our... the majority of our viewer base is on Spotify.
Yeah, like 75% is on Spotify, 7% on Apple Podcasts. Here's something that we need to bump up, actually. We've got 90% male audience, 8% female audience, and then 1% not specified. I mean, it's not too bad, but I'd like to see that...
If you consider the amount of listeners we have, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too bad, honestly. But anyway, we're at the Fox and Clown Podcast, we're pretty all about diversity, you know? I've always said that. World's most diverse podcast? I mean, potentially, right? You've got a Japanese-American guy, and you've got, what are you, like, half North American, like your Native American, and then half European?
Say North American?
Well, yeah, because Native Americans are indigenous North American people, I suppose.
I am Native American, European, and Asian.
An Asian? Yeah. Now, I'm curious, which country did you... Are China. You, China? Yeah. Now, is this verified with, like, 23andMe, for example, or Ancestry.com? Or is this just something you made up?
No, this is verified.
This is verified. Okay, this is news to me. I'm very curious about Asian descent.
I didn't want to, like, leak this information to anyone, but Chinese people can, like, talk telepathically to each other. That's why, like, you may not know this, but I'm always, like, talking to Alex when he's right across the table from me in secrecy. Sometimes.
Is that why he doesn't like you that much? Because you're always, like, talking shit to him behind the scenes without us knowing?
Okay, I'm not gonna go the extra step and, like, you know, leak our DMs. But yes.
Wow, that's crazy. You know what would actually be pretty cool is if we did... How much does it cost to do, like, a 23andMe, like, DNA test?
Probably, like, $50.
Let's go out and check that, because that would be an awesome podcast.
That would actually be an awesome podcast. We need to look that up.
DNA testing and ancestry service.
I'm actually gonna message the topics in our group in our like DMs real quick.
Just so you don't forget it.
Yeah.
Wow, it is $99.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a little too much, man. Like,
that's a lot just for me to find out that I'm black.
Hey, man, that's not what it would say. Not, I don't think, at least. I mean, who knows? So, in our opinion, innerbody.com, it is the best overall genetic test for your average test taker. However, if you want to do something more hardcore, you can go to Ancestry DNA. Dude, these dudes are trying to map the whole genome.
Hardcore?
It's hardcore, man. Some people are hardcore into this stuff.
They recently actually mapped, like, something within our body. I forget what it was. Some kind of DNA sequence or something?
I think they've been trying to do that for a lot of time.
Yeah, I think they've, like, they definitely managed to do something recently that was, like, a significant achievement.
So there's also something called MyHeritage.com that allows you to do it. Here's the thing, though. I think 23andMe is interesting because it, like, shows you not only, like, you know, what your ethnicities are from all the way down the line, but I think it also shows you the risk you have for certain diseases that are genetic. Like type 2 diabetes, heart disease.
Do we want to know this cancer? Shit, bro?
I don't know, man. That's one of the things that people use it for, is they use it to, like, kind of check how they are with disease and what they need to be careful about. I feel like you might have a couple of strange, ailments that could be of concern. Or maybe you've already got those situated.
Honestly, at the very least, it'll be funny.
Yeah, I'm a bit sad that it's $99, because that would be $200 for both of us, unless there's like a, I don't know if they've got like a couples deal, but that we could take advantage of, but I mean, that could be pretty nice. Anyway, cool to keep going with, cool to check in on our audience here, and apparently we can make a podcast into a blog. We might want to do that. I might look into doing that, to be honest.
Who the fuck? What is... What?
It says connect to WordPress.com. Grow your audience with a podcast website. I mean, that sounds kind of nice.
I mean, like an actual website that we can host stuff on? That's fine.
Yeah, like a WordPress website?
I really want to learn how to, like, make a website.
You want to learn HTML? It's not a bad idea. I mean, I would be down to learn with you if you wanted, because I have a little experience, almost no experience with HTML, though. So if you wanted to try, I would definitely be down for that.
Something I'm interested in.
I mean, I feel like the type of websites, I mean, what type of websites are you interested in creating? Like art portfolios? I just want to make,
yeah. And maybe like some websites that I've visited of like creators that I like have like personalized, like they put their comics and stuff up on there, and it's like a personalized experience when you're like reading something.
That's true. Yeah, it can be nice.
I mean, get really creative with it.
If you wanted to, let me know. I mean, I'm already teaching cybersecurity to the group, so I don't know how much time I would have, but I would be down to at least try that, yeah.
Well, we have another email here from Manak Sahu. Hello there. Do you want to get more customers online? Get your website on Google First page. What is Google First page?
I think the first page of Google searches, I assume, is what they're talking about.
I can help you in getting more customers. If you are interested, I can send you our past work, pricing, and proposal. Thanks and regards, Mahesmat, God damn it, How do you think you would say this last word?
Tweeroans. I don't know.
I can't believe you just doxed him.
Dude, you're the one who read out... First of all, he's basically got self-doxing protection because his name in the thanks and regards is different from his name at the top of the email. So we don't know who this guy might even be to begin with.
He's already using two different names, so we can't go with your offer.
It's true. And also, looking at you, we've already got someone else, the last guy. He was trying to get us on the top of the Google page, so... Like, I don't know.
We don't need you. We got people lined up.
And first of all, we might do it ourselves because we just talked about how we're thinking of, you know, making that website for ourselves. So, yeah, I think we're going to have to say sorry, MS, but, you know, we're not interested. We're not interested in your offer.
Now, I thought this person was a bot, but then I realized they have another email replying to that email that says... Hello, I want to follow up regarding my last below email. Please let me know if you're interested in optimizing your website on the Google top page and want to get more traffic on your site. We will be very happy to assist you. Give us an opportunity to serve you. I assure you would like our solution and services. I look forward to a healthy business relationship with you. Regards, Mahesmot Turirons.
So I'm going to copy and paste in the chat.
No, don't fucking do it. Don't touch this link, bro.
No, there's no link, bro. I'm just copy and pasting text. I'm just going to copy and paste in the chat our last email and this email so you can kind of see them back to back. And let me know what you think about... Let me think about what you see here. I mean, they're pretty... These guys must be colleagues. Would you say?
I have an idea.
What?
One is Adtia Bain, and the other one is Mahesmatk. How about you read Adtia Bain's, and I'll read Mahesmatk?
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's start on three. 1, 2, 3. Hello.
I want to
follow up regarding my last email below. Please let me know if you're interested in optimizing your website on the Google top page and want to get more traffic on your site. We'll be very happy to assist you. Give us an opportunity to serve you. I assure you would like our solution and services. I look forward to a healthy business relationship with you. Regards. AB. What the hell, bro? These guys must have not even... I mean, what if we replied to one and not the other? That would make the other one feel pretty bad, right? So here's probably the thing. We're not going to reply to either of them.
Yeah, I was wondering, is it okay to reply to any random old person?
I don't know, man. You gotta show credentials. You gotta show us what the hell is going on here. But anyway, very interesting emails. Those are our emails for the week. I mean, 20 minutes spent on the damn emails. I feel like we need to cut the emails to like a 10-minute section at the start so the viewers don't get absolutely snooze-fested, you know?
That's why I think we should do it at the end.
You know what? You just sold me. You just sold me on your idea to do it at the end. If we remember.
Okay,
from now on, doing emails at the end. So you, I know, wanted to talk about several things. One of them being on the more culinary side of things, no?
I wanted to... You know, I've been in the kitchen.
And what have you been doing
in there? I go on break from work for like 2, maybe 3 months. So I have all this alone time in which I've been sort of cooking up recipes all by myself. And I was wondering if you had any recipes that you would like to share, because I have some recipes that I think might be world-changing.
World-changing, all right. I mean, that's a heavy claim, considering there have been many famous chefs over the course of time, you know.
Well, I'm willing to share two of my recipes.
Okay, two. I'll go two as well, and we can just go back and forth. So would you rather have me go first or you go first?
You can go first.
Okay, I mean, you're putting me on the spot here, but maybe I'll just start with something very simple that me and my roommate started cooking recently. That's pretty nice. And what it is it's... And I want to preface this with all of my recipes will be vegetarian, because I'm vegetarian.
You're a liar.
No, bro, it's true. And so one of the recipes that we've been starting to make is a lasagna. It's an eggplant lasagna. So,
oh, God.
What we do is, you know, we slice the eggplant thin, so you've got these kind of thin sheets of eggplant. And then you fry them in olive oil. Of course, you salt them and whatever, season them a little bit. And you get these kind of nice, decadent, like, thin, juicy eggplant strips. You put those on the side, and you prep the sauce, which is just a basic, like, tomato sauce. Put in some... We use Impossible Meat to make it more like, you know, ground beef you would normally put in there, probably. But we use the Impossible Meat. And it's pretty good, actually. If you guys haven't tried it, I would recommend that. And then finally, we just use, like, the basic lasagna sheets. You put the... Oh, and the most important part is this white sauce that we make. This bechamel sauce. No, not true. Right, we make this bechamel sauce. It's a very famous sauce in the world. But if you haven't tried it, it's pretty easy to make. It's like you just mix butter and flour until you get this kind of thick paste thing. And then you pour in milk a little bit. And then you stir and you make this creamy sauce, and you put maybe a little nutmeg on afterward. Pretty good. Nutmeg, right? You missed one part of the word, I think. Yeah. There you go. So, we have this white sauce, and then you go tomato sauce, pasta, eggplant, tomato sauce, pasta, eggplant, tomato sauce, pasta.
Is eggplant really that good?
It's so good, bro. It's pretty damn good. I don't know
how. So what you're saying is that you love eggplant?
I do. It's grown to become one of my favorite veggies. I would take down an eggplant probably 5 days
out of seven. You could devour an eggplant in like a minute.
No, not those things are big, bro. You can't. I would say almost no one could eat an eggplant in a minute. That'd be quite challenging. Takes a long time. And mind you, this is a dish for multiple people. This is one to share with the whole family. So, yeah, you put that bitch in there, and you put the bechamel sauce on top to get that kind of white, creamy top layer. Stick that in the oven, I don't know, for like 30 minutes at 450? And don't take my word on this. You might want to double check with a few sources, but 450F, we put that in there. And once you take it out, you gotta check if it's nice and soft and gooey. You slice that bitch up and you start chowing down.
What the fuck?
It's not as messed up as it sounds, alright? It's a pretty nice, wholesome dish. Only downside, it takes about probably total time, including baking and getting everything ready. It probably takes like an hour 15, I would say. Maybe longer on the first try.
I actually love lasagna. And one of the reasons that I got turned on to lasagna, not in a sexual way, but there's a recent hurricane that really fucked us up within like the last maybe 4 years. And we were like without electricity for like 2 weeks, I think. Or at least I was.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And they were like selling instant food. Somewhere. I don't know where. Anyways, my uncle or my aunt came back with instant lasagna. And how it worked was like...
I feel like whenever you use how it works with food, it's always some type of weird ass shit, you know?
It was weird because it was like... they used some sort of like chemical reaction to cook the lasagna.
What the hell?
It was like, it was activated by water, which is interesting. It seems like it's pretty useful for the situation that I was in.
Mm-hmm. And, sorry, listeners, for the clicks.
And that was like, basically you put it on there, it'll start smoking. You have to like make sure it's sealed. They give you a bag, and the bag sort of acts like a little heat chamber to trap the heat in. And then it cooks the shit. And it was some of the best fucking lasagna that I've ever had. And I don't
know why. God damn, bro. You gotta eat some of my lasagna just to compare to that. Because that sounds like some straight up military ration type shit.
It was so good.
Interesting.
I think the military is like privileged.
Anyway, so with that being said, you know, you've got these lasagnas. You'll have to come over and try my lasagna sometime. But what is your first kind of now, recipe?
My first recipe is a little bit of a radical breakfast dish that I don't know if I've told you about, but I've described it to Alex once or twice. And okay. And as you know, I recently came into possession of a rice cooker.
Came into possession of a rice cooker, you said.
So all the dishes that I've been cooking have rice with them. And So what you do is obviously you get some rice. And then what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to cut up maybe like two hot dogs. Throw them into the frying pan. With whatever you want to use, with oil or butter, I don't care. Yeah, that's not the important part. Then you want to like throw some chives in there.
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
Along with an egg.
Nothing wrong with that either.
Okay. Then you get your rice ready. And yeah. You pour some maple syrup onto the rice.
Okay. So maple syrup. I'm not gonna judge until you finish, but go on.
And then all you do is just mix everything in into one little concoction.
Okay. So maple syrup on rice. First of all, yes. I don't know if that's even been attempted in all of history.
It is great.
So you'd be the first to do that, which is pretty cool to be the first. You are interesting. I'll say that. And then, what did you say? You had sliced up hot dogs.
Mm-hmm. Hot dogs notoriously go great with maple syrup.
No. I thought you were going to say rice, maple syrup. And then, what did you say? You had chives and an egg in there?
Chives and egg.
Okay, so honestly, here's the thing. I mean,
you need the maple syrup. I knew you were going to say you don't need the maple syrup. But for it to be my dish, you need the fucking maple syrup.
Okay, and just out of curiosity, how much maple syrup are you typically putting on that dish? You lather it on there, so...
As long as it's not making like a... I mean, if you want to. Anything else is optional.
Okay. Because me, I thought you were going to say, like, you know, you put all that, you put the rice in the pan, and you put some soy sauce on there.
Oh, yeah, I put soy sauce on my rice, too.
Okay. See, so that's not, like, that's not terrible, except for the maple syrup, which, honestly, I'm still trying to
accept. The soy sauce adds that saltiness with the maple syrup sweetness. It's just, it's a delectable delight.
Okay. And would you consider this to be a dessert dish or more of a main course?
It's more of a, like, a dessert breakfast dish.
A dessert breakfast with hot dogs and eggs and maple syrup, bro? I think you might be on one. I think you might have invented something.
On to something, bro.
This is cursed. I mean, I'm not going to knock it. They always say, don't knock it until you try it, right?
You should try it.
I mean, it's like, you know when you learn something in school and they say, like, okay, this is the way things go, this is the way you're supposed to do it, you know, according to theory, right?
Yeah.
So you've abandoned all theory. You're more that avant-garde, like, trying experimental, new, insane shit. And I'm here for it, honestly. Would I ever make it on my own without your guidance? Absolutely not. Never in a million years. Would I make it with your guidance? I mean, let's just move on to the next recipe real quick. But maybe we should do this. After we say our recipe, maybe we should say, like, how often we make it, and what would you rate it out of 10?
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. I guess you can do your lasagna.
Yeah, the lasagna, I'm not making it too often. I'm probably making it, like, probably once a month, I would say, because it takes a little too long. But it's more of a house dish, you know, like your roommates can eat it with you. But I would give it a solid 9 out of 10. Like, it's some of the most decadent shit I can make. You know, I'm not much of a chef. I'll go ahead and admit that. But that's one of my top go-tos if I'm trying to actually make a good dish.
9 out of 10?
9 out of 10, I would say.
For my, what would you call this?
Yeah, what would you call it? What is the name of it?
Morning with Don V.
Morning with Don V. I was going to say, take one of these and call me in the fucking morning to have a hot dog with the rice down your throat. The maple syrup on top to finish.
So, for this particular dish, you know,
Don't say 10 out of 10.
I'm probably making it maybe every day.
Dude, don't say every day, bro. That's horrible. That's horrible.
No, really, it's honestly, it's too sweet to be every day. It's more like maybe twice a month at most.
Okay, twice a month. Wow, that's a heavy departure from every day. Okay.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm honestly, you know, it's a new dish. I'm not opposed to perhaps someday improving it. So right now I'm going to have to give it a 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10, wow. That's, I mean, high praise. Surprised. I seem surprised because when you were describing it, I mean, if I'm being honest, you didn't sound the most enthused about it, even saying it yourself. You sounded a bit skeptical, but maybe you recognize it's a
lot to parse for new people.
It can be. I mean, when you hear those words,
maple syrup and rice
and hot dog. I mean, those are words that may not have even been uttered in the same sentence until this day.
See, that's really weird to me because, you know, I'm surprised that you're surprised about the hot dog and maple syrup.
I'm very surprised about the hot dog and maple syrup.
But you're fine with hot dog and rice.
Hot dog and rice is okay. You know,
it's interesting to me because, you know, my family... The hot dog and maple syrup is like a sacred dish in my family.
Are you sure?
Yes. And, you know, it's also weird to me that, like, you know, corn dogs, people dip their corn dogs in syrup all the time.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert on corn dogs. Don't they? I don't know, bro. I don't know if people are dipping their corn dogs in maple syrup. I feel like they do dip it in something now that you mention it. I could see it. I could see people doing that. I'm not endorsing it, but I could see people doing that.
I just think it's interesting that because you, like, your family is Japanese, you have, like, you grew up with, like, a certain, what's the word?
A certain cuisine? Certain household
intuition on, like, how to make stuff, like food type stuff. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And so that idea, when it first came to your head, that was not the weird part, the hot dog and maple syrup. It was the rice that was the weird part.
Yeah, I knew I was being a little bit experimental with the rice and maple syrup specifically.
Okay. At least we're on the same page there.
Yeah, 8 out of 10 dish. Try it at home. Now, your next dish.
My next dish, I'm gonna have to think about this one, because, like, for example, if we're to talk about, like, daily drivers for food, for example, if I've got nothing else on the table, I'm either eating pasta or I'm eating rice. And there's very little other shit that I'm eating. You know, I don't typically make sandwiches for myself. Mm. I'm not typically making... What are other common
meals? Not anymore. It used to be the sandwich god.
He used to be a god of something. Is that? I mean, that's a news to me, but a sandwich god is very interesting. I'm not... I don't know. I would say... You know what? My next one is just going to be a, kind of a food... For the working man, I'll give one. I'll give a suggestion: food for the working man, something you can make in probably like 15 to 20 minutes tops. There is a little waiting involved that I'm not including, but I mean, that's, you can do something else while you're waiting for the rice to cook. But you just get some rice, you've got it cooked on the side, and this is just a simple fried rice, right? Mm-hmm. Ingredients are mushrooms. You can either go like shiitake mushrooms, or you can go crimini mushrooms. Those are my two kind of go-to mushrooms. But a mushroom, you know, I usually have sliced up bell peppers in there. I'll usually have some green onion in there. It's something I enjoy. I'll usually have, what other veggies might I put in there? Would that be, that would probably be it for the daily go-tos. Let me know if you have any other veggie suggestions. But, you know, just... Oh, and a type of hot pepper as well. Like a shishito pepper, something like that, jalapeno, something. So
I, you chop those up. I actually got to bring home a giant bag of habanero pepper from work because we didn't order it, and it was just extra, and they left it at our restaurant.
Mm. So you can try this probably quite easily, Don B.
Potentially.
But you take those ingredients, you chop them up, you know, you saute them, you just stir fry them up real quick. And you want to fry them up with a bit of olive oil, a bit of sesame oil, a bit of soy sauce.
Why both oils?
Because sesame oil just adds that extra taste, and olive oil because you don't want to use a shitload of sesame oil just to make it not stick to the pan, you know?
I see.
So you got those two oils, and then, you know, you're serving them up, you're whipping them up in the kitchen, you put the rice on top. So you can fry it, you know, you mix it up a little bit, maybe a little salt, pepper, soy sauce. And then I like to put a little bit of, you know, either sriracha or like this garlic chili paste in there. Pretty easy. Both you can find at the store very easily. And then, is that it? That might, oh no, two eggs. You put two eggs when you put the rice in, and you just mix the eggs in and let them cook with the rice. And then... you're good to go. That's it. That's the dish. You got a nice fried rice, and you can even put some some seaweed in there and eat it with the seaweed. So pretty cool. Pretty good stuff.
Do you ever get technical with the way you like make your stuff?
Do I ever get technical?
Yeah. Like, do you ever add like a specific amount of something?
No. I always just do everything by eye. Because if, you know, if you're working, if you're coming home from work, you don't want to have to do, you know, mise en place, which means like setting everything in the correct proportions before you cook and doing all this organized shit, you know. You just want to stick that in. Like, my measurements, the most I'll get is like a few squirts. Like a few squirts of this, a few squirts of that, and you're good to go.
Okay. Well, go on.
That's pretty easy, pretty fun to do. I mean, this is going to be something that I probably cook, I would say, at least 3 times a week or more.
Jesus Christ.
So it's accounting for probably just over a fourth of my meals for the week. And another thing that you guys should know, I do kind of like not really adhering to it, but just intermittent fasting, which means, you know, I eat for like in an 8-hour window in the day.
You get ready for Ramadan.
For the rest of the 16 hours. No, bro, not that intense. that gets pretty intense. But no, for me, I mean, basically that just means I skip breakfast because I'm lazy. So I don't actually do intermittent fasting, but I just skip breakfast. So my meals are typically big. So this meal, if you're using the amount of ingredients, like I just use a whole bell pepper, a couple other peppers, you know, a fair amount of green onions and shit, and like a few mushrooms, this shit will fill you up, bro. And two eggs with a cup of rice, you're good to go. That's a hearty dinner, you know? And I would probably rate it, I mean, on taste, probably a 6 to 7 out of 10. Not going to pretend it's, I'm not going to pretend it's maple syrup on rice, you know? But it's definitely, like, pretty damn good. And, yeah, it's just, it'll get the job done.
Okay. Now, this next dish for me is not nearly as radical as the Don V's morning. Breakfast with Don V.
Breakfast a la Don V.
Yeah. So this one is what you're gonna need, obviously rice. And then you're gonna need some smoked sausage of a specific brand that I cannot think of at the moment. I don't know what brand it is. My grandpa gets it for me, and then whenever he gets the wrong sausage, I just don't even make the dish.
Okay.
And you're also going to need some ragu.
Ragu.
Is it ragu or the other one? Prego?
Prego?
I think it's ragu.
Okay.
Let me look up the specific ragu.
It's not Meg Ragu Meat Creations, is it?
It's not Meat Creations. It is... I think it's like tomato and garlic.
Okay, I can respect a little tomato and garlic action.
Tomato, garlic, and onion. And I like to get the chunky one.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you do here is you start frying your sausage, your smoked sausage. And, you know, if you want to, I've cracked open an egg in it as well. And I've fried that together. Then... once it gets to a point where, like, you know, it's starting to finish off, you want to pour some ragu into the pan or the wok, whichever you're doing shit on. And note that your rice will not be going into this. You're going to be pouring this onto the rice. So once you I like to put some crushed red pepper, some soy sauce into the ragu, just a little bit.
Oh my god.
Just like a splash, honestly. So I can feel a little bit more weebish.
Okay.
What else do I put in here? I put in spinach sometimes.
Okay.
And that's really all you put in there. You want to add a hot sauce, that's okay too. You don't want to get it too hot though. So you get that all ready, you pour it onto the rice, but you're not done yet. So what you do now is you get like some spare water that you got lying around. You pour that back into the pan so you can collect the rest of the sauce that's like caked onto the sides of the pan, or like perhaps some remaining grease.
Okay, remaining grease is... yeah, that's pretty interesting addition.
And then you pour that water into the same bowl with all your other stuff, and it creates kind of like a brothy thingy going on. And that's really fucking good.
Okay, so... I mean, I'm trying to think. Like... I don't hate it. The only thing I hate is the soy sauce aspect. I don't think... I mean, it's weird, right? It's weird because if you were, instead of putting it on rice, if you were to put it on, like, just some pasta, I mean, that's just regular pasta, you know?
What do you mean?
Without the soy sauce. Like, if you're just putting, like, a tomato sauce with some sausage and egg.
There's no pasta in this.
I know, but if you were to put it on pasta instead of rice, that's just a regular pasta dish, you know?
The thing that separates this from fucking mom's spaghetti is the part where you add water to the pan and then you pour it into the bowl. And it creates sort of like a moat around your rice.
I mean, I'm not opposed, right? I'm not for it. You know what? I am opposed to it, actually. I'm quite opposed to this dish because it's got some... It's weird. It's got some principles that make sense, you know? Your sauce doesn't sound bad. The soy sauce is weird. But it's like, I feel like you thought, since I'm putting this on rice, I should put soy sauce in. It was probably the soy sauce, right? Which is fine. And then there are dishes in Japanese and Asian culture that you put some type of like soup or some type of liquid on rice and create like a soup dish with rice in it, like a moat, as you describe, around the rice, right? That's not uncommon. But doing that with a tomato sauce... And how you describe what you describe as getting like the grease and caked on shit on the sides of the pan. I mean, like, it's conflicting, right? There's some things that make a lot of sense, and then there's some things that just don't go, you know? But it's one of those things. Maybe we'll have a podcast episode in the future once when I go back home that you can make one of these dishes for me.
Yeah, I was thinking of making a video of me making this anyways, because I recently came into possession of the specific sausage that I use. So you gotta have the specific sausage. I tried it with a different sausage one time. Did not taste nearly as good.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, we'll have to figure that out and see what we can how we can make it work, you know.
And so, you know, in terms of, like, schedule, this, for me, this is, you know, if I have time, this is an everyday dish for me. Personally, I will eat this shit if I'm not too lazy to, like, cook rice in the rice cooker. I'm eating this every day.
So this is your daily driver.
I live for this.
And what is this dish called, since you've kind of made it on your own?
I had a name for it. I could not remember. I can't remember the name. I just know that it was like French for like hodgepodge or something.
Okay. French for hodgepodge. I'm not that far into French where I know what French for hodgepodge is.
We'll call it snack bar shit.
Okay, Zach. This is the snack bar chez Donovan, perhaps.
Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, it could be, I feel like there could be more, potentially more stuff being added to this to enhance it. So I'm going to give it a 9. So it's not perfect.
Okay.
The recipe can be shifted around a bit, maybe, to improve it. I was potentially thinking of maybe adding little, like, mango cubes to it.
Adding mango cubes in this dish? Not as a dessert?
No. My thought process was like, you know, I like pineapple on pizza. This has tomato sauce. It might be good with it.
I don't know, bro. You might have to reevaluate that kind of thought train you've got going on.
No.
It's not something I'm not an expert in, you know. Mango on tomatoes. I would just
suggest. What do you mean? You like pineapple pizza, right?
I don't mind a pineapple pizza, but mango on tomatoes on ragu is not the same, bro.
The difference between you and me is that I live for pineapple on pizza. Okay.
See, me, it's not my go-to pizza. You know, my go-to pizza might be something with mushrooms and arugula or something.
Arugula?
Yes, bro. Okay, anyway, we better stop talking before we end up fucking choking ourselves out. Okay, so, I mean, you rate it a 9. I mean, can I persuade you to kind of explore the full range of numbers instead of going straight to 9? Because I would say, like, perhaps, maybe there's something else, like, maybe you could improve on a lot more, you know?
I think you're just salty because I put soy sauce in the goddamn ragu.
Okay, let's think about this. So what is the best thing you've ever tasted in your entire life?
Best thing I've ever tasted? Probably fucking my father's spaghetti.
Okay. And so, in a scale of 0 to father's spaghetti, you're saying that this is, like, almost there?
Yeah.
Okay, and where would you rank that kind of lasagna that you had that was in the package?
This kind of far back. I think maybe at the time, you know, I was kind of food deprived because we were kind of in a hurricane and locked off from the rest of the civilization in Newport. So, you know, at the time, I'd probably say that that lasagna was a 10 out of 10.
Okay.
But, you know,
you got to account for, like, your emotions at that time.
You got to account for desperation. People will do crazy things in the wake of desperation.
It's true. It's true. All right, so fans of the Fox Lingua Clown podcast, let us know if you try any of our dishes.
Please try them.
Yeah, honestly, please try the dishes. I mean, I
would love to hear... How else can we improve them? How else can we improve them without actual on-the-ground, boots-on-the-ground reporting?
Yeah, and I'm especially curious about what you guys think after creating one of Don V's concoctions. You know, one of Don V's kind of potions he's got going on there. Like, yeah, I would be curious to know
you're
what
not
you guys
strong
think.
Enough for the for my potions, obviously.
I'm just a humble traveler. I might not be strong enough for your potions. Who knows? I could be convinced by an audience member to have one of your things, you know? anyway, so is that it for this podcast? We're running at 52 minutes right now. Might be shorter if we edit stuff out.
That's probably it. Okay. I have nothing else to say.
Fans, and also fans, we encourage you, remember our email is odangpodcast.com. If y'all have recipes that you want us to try, hit us up in the emails, and we will gladly try them out for ourselves. Who knows, we might find another hit to add to our daily food creations.
Well, see you guys on the next episode.
See y'all on the next episode. Peace.